Welcome back to another episode of the CSK8 podcast. My name is Jared O'Leary. Each week of this podcast is either an interview with a guest or multiple guests or a solo episode where I unpack some scholarship in relation to computer science education. In this week's episode, I'm unpacking a paper titled Teachers as Curriculum Co-Designers, Supporting Professional Learning and Curriculum Implementation in a CS for All RPP Project. This paper was written by Li Jun Ni, Jillian Bausch, Bernardo Feliciano, Xin Huan Su, and Fred Martin. Apologies if I mispronounce any names. Here's the abstract for this paper. Quote, this paper examines the use of collaborative curriculum design, co-design, as a strategy for supporting teacher professional learning and the implementation of an inclusive middle school computer science and digital literacy, CSDL, curriculum in three urban school districts. The curriculum is focused on students developing mobile apps that provide social and community good. The second year of the program has been dedicated to developing and piloting curriculum resources that support remote learning and culturally relevant pedagogy, while the partner districts switch to remote and hybrid instructions. This study explores teachers' professional learning experiences in the collaborative design of curriculum materials and piloting the curriculum at their own classrooms. The paper includes analysis of three datasets. 1. Co-design meeting notes and teacher reflections. 2. Semi-structured interviews with teachers who co-designed and piloted the curriculum. 3. Student pre- and post-survey responses on their attitude and interest in learning CSDL. Preliminary results indicate that the co-design approach supplemented with one-on-one coaching has not only facilitated the curriculum development process, but also fostered professional learning and collective capacity building for implementing the project curriculum in the partner districts. Findings from student surveys show that students perceive their understandings of and interest in computer science and creating apps were slightly improved, regardless of gender. End quote. If I were to summarize this paper into a single sentence, I'd say that this paper shares results of an RPP where teachers collaboratively designed an app development curriculum that they implemented in their classrooms. As always, you can find a link to this paper in the show notes, as well as links to the author Google Scholar profile, so you can check out more works by them. You can find that in the description of the app that you're listening to this on, or by going to jaredoleary.com and clicking on the podcast tab. You'll notice that this podcast is powered by BootUp, which is the nonprofit that I work for. Check out the curriculum that I create. It's 100% free. Or check out the professional development want to learn more about that at bootuppd.org. All right, so an RPP is a research practitioner partnership or a research practice partnership. Heard it framed both ways. And this was between University of Massachusetts at Lowell, University at Albany, and then three urban school districts in Massachusetts and New York. So this project actually started in the 2019-2020 school year, which we probably all know what happened at the end of that school year. So it disrupted some things. But the research questions for this particular study were, quote, 1. How did the project teachers implement the co-design curriculum in their own classrooms? 2. How does the co-design process foster teacher professional learning and curriculum implementation? 3. What are the student learning outcomes, such as their interest and confidence in creating apps and learning computer science overall? End quote. It's from page 2. All right, so the next section is on the background. And so in this, the very first subsection, they talk about the curriculum co-design. So it's a team-based process where teachers, researchers, developers iterate through cycles of design, implementation, testing, redesign, etc., to develop curriculum materials. So rather than having an external organization or researchers create content for the teachers were a part of the process. So that way they could come back and be like, yo, this actually won't work well because of X, Y, and Z variables. Here's what we should do instead, and kind of design that into it. And because they keep going back to this process, they're able to iterate over time, which is a good idea. So to help with this out, they did co-design meetings, which were bi-weekly meetings where members of the RPP team could kind of get feedback, talk to each other. They also had one-on-one meetings, which was an interesting idea. So like a researcher would meet with the teacher one-on-one to get some feedback. And when designing the curriculum, they specifically focused on embedding culturally relevant pedagogies into the curriculum design itself. And then they had ongoing discussions about supporting the curriculum implementation. So once you design it, you go back and you actually teach it. Go, oh, wait a minute, what we thought was going to work really well, maybe it did, or maybe it didn't. Here's what we should change to make it even better. So on page 3 of the paper, the authors describe the overall curriculum. So it's broken down into 5 units. The first unit is on why computer science, CS for All. So this has modules that focus on apps for social good, CS for All, and App Lab. Writing your first computer program, computer science vocabulary and concepts, and then it had an activity when it was an unplugged activity. The second unit was on why apps matter and how to make them. And so this used App Lab, button creation, problem solving, app research project, and then it had an activity that was a speaker visit, and a second activity that was another unplugged activity. In unit 3, this one was on guided exploration with apps, learning basic CSDL skills and concepts. And so it had modules on pair programming, introduction to variables, building an app, multi-screen app, debugging, and had an activity that was on career in computer science, and then another activity that was an unplugged activity. In Unit 4, this was on more apps, modifying apps and learning more CS. It had modules on conditionals, app interactivity, functions, and then an unplugged activity. And then unit 5 was app completion and presentation. So this had modules that was app completion and showcase, and then a reflection and an assessment. Now in this table, they also include alignment with Massachusetts and New York CSDL learning standards. So if you're curious how those align, check those out in that table on page 3. Okay, so the third main section of this paper is on data collection and analysis. So they had meeting notes and teacher reflections from the meetings. They had semi-structured interviews with the teachers. Then they had student pre and post survey responses. So here are the results. Implementation. So obviously, COVID impacted things. This was originally designed before COVID. So this impacted how much time teachers had to be able to implement things. Teachers had full autonomy in terms of how they adapted and piloted the curriculum. So they could go in order, they could change some things, etc. They were encouraged to remix the materials. So not every teacher got to everything. There's a table 3 on page 4 that shows the breakdown of each of the 5 teachers, like what they did and what they did not do in the different modules or units. But basically, one teacher got to everything, another teacher got to all but one things, a third teacher got to all but 2 things, a fourth teacher got to all but 4 things, and then a fifth teacher got to all but 5 things, but each one of them was different. Results from the teaching strategy and pedagogy. Teachers tried a few different approaches. So they did unplugged activities, they did pair programming, they did culturally relevant pedagogy, which I kind of wanted to know more about. I know that authors were compressed for space, having also written for this conference this year, trying to condense complicated ideas down into a few pages. Not easy to do. So I'm curious what specifically the pedagogies look like and how they're implemented. Okay, so the next subsection of results was on teacher professional learning experience. So the authors discussed the co-design for community building. The teachers liked that the district leads were brought into the meetings and it helped with communication across the entire team, which I agree. Like if you check out the interview that I did with Leanne Delizer, we talk about Script and CS for All and how in Script, that process brings together teachers with admin and various stakeholders to the table to all collaboratively discuss an implementation plan and some like goals. So it's extremely important to have not just the admin on board or not just the teachers on board. You have to have a variety of stakeholders present in the planning, and in this case, in the curriculum planning and development. So I was happy to see that they did that. And then having the ongoing meetings, it sounded like the teachers really found that beneficial. Whether it was like the group meetings or the one-on-one meetings, those were all beneficial for the development process, which is smart. Makes sense to me to do that. So teachers in this process all felt supported in terms of their teacher learning and the implementation, as that they were able to learn from each other, bring some ideas to the table, and then bring it back to their classroom. This obviously led to some implementation outcomes and challenges that differed among the teachers because they were all implementing differently, most likely from pandemic issues, but they walked away impressed with how well their students were doing with what they were able to implement. The challenges that they mentioned that they experienced, a lot of them had to do with remote teaching in 2020. This was new for a lot of people as they weren't able to necessarily assess engagement and monitor learning processes over time virtually, especially if like students turned off their camera and mics. And then especially if trying to do some unplugged activities and then organizing pair programming remotely, those can be difficult to do. An interesting challenge that they mentioned is that even though there was support for the project, the technology did not necessarily align with that support. Google Classrooms had some issues where it did not allow teachers to integrate it with their Google Classroom in each district. So like due to district settings or whatever, it would prevent or block access, which having been there and done that, I know how frustrating that can be. Like I had one of the classes I was taking at ASU, it was blocked by my district, so I could not look at or do my homework on my lunch break and whatnot. It was frustrating. They didn't even give us like an override, like they didn't trust the teachers with passwords to, you know, be able to log into your class website or the university in town. It was weird. Now in terms of student results, so the third question. So students had a statistically significant increase with a medium effect size in their confidence in creating their own apps. But for this sample, they did not have a statistically significant increase in the confidence in coding or programming and the confidence in creating their own apps to help others. Even though there was an increase, it wasn't statistically significant. All right, so then the paper ends with a summary and discussion, which you can check out if you're interested in it. All right, so at the end of these unpacking scholarship episodes, I'd like to kind of provide some lingering questions or thoughts. So one of them is, how might you collaborate with other researchers or teachers by developing your own RPP? What might that look like? Would it be an NSF grant proposal, like the CS for All RPP? I believe those are usually in February for the deadlines. So FYI, if you're interested in starting one, reach out to me and I'm happy to talk. Participated in a couple. So if you're a researcher, cool. Maybe reach out to some local teachers. If you're a teacher, maybe reach out to your alma mater or local research institutions, whether that's a university setting or an independent organization or nonprofit. See if there's some RPPs that you could create. But outside of the RPP design, what kind of co-design processes might you engage in with other CS educators? And how might you do that? Like maybe you could reach out to other educators on CS for All Teachers, or other researchers at CS for All's website, or use CSTA's virtual communities to collaborate with other people asynchronously. What could you collaboratively design and share with the community? I personally have a history of just kind of doing my own thing and sharing what I create on my website, which is why there's like hundreds, if not thousands, of free CS resources on there. A lot of it from when I was in the classroom, and then now from working at BootUp for the last few years. So maybe you do it on your own and just share it, or maybe you collaborate with others. That's up to you. Overall though, I really like the idea of having the co-design process for developing curriculum materials, rather than just having just a curriculum developer create it, or just a researcher. Having developers, researchers, and teachers all work together, I think is a good idea. But anyways, this was a really interesting study to look at. Kind of bummed that COVID happened and impacted things, but I look forward to reading more projects like this. Stay tuned next week for another episode. Until then, I hope you're all staying safe and are having a wonderful week.